I'm going to bring a message today on the subject, the Lord's table. I'll be using for my text the book of Luke, chapter 22, verse 19 and 20. Luke 22, 19 and 20. Now it says, "And the Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks and brake it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. This do in remembrance of me." Now, in this 22nd chapter of the book of Luke, it was the day of the Passover. It was the day before our Lord suffered on the cross. And he met with his disciples in the upper room to observe the Passover feast. Now, Israel had observed this Passover feast for hundreds and hundreds of years. Once every year, they observed the Passover feast. And on this occasion, our Lord indicated to his disciples that this would be the last Passover, the very last Passover ever observed by believers. No more would they keep the Passover feast. No more would men of faith, men looking to God, looking for redemption, keep the Passover feast. It started in Egypt, and it continued to this day when our Lord met in the upper room with his disciples to observe this Passover feast. And he indicated to them that the Passover will never, ever, ever be observed again by believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. For as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 5:7, why is this? Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. And our Lord instituted at this time what we call the Lord's table, the table of the Lord. That was when it was instituted right here at this present time. And from this point, our Lord said, till he comes, till his second coming, till his return, from this point until he comes again, believers would observe the Lord's table, not necessarily once a year, but as oft as they observe it, they show the Lord's death until he comes. Now, this is what Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians 11. I'd like for you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, verse 23. Now, listen to the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and this is what he said. For I have received of the Lord. I got this from the Lord. You know, he said on another occasion, I didn't get my gospel from a man. I didn't receive it from men. I received it directly from God. And here the Apostle Paul said, I have received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you, unto the church, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed by Judas, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake the bread and gave it to his disciples, and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do, not this and something else, but this, simple unleavened bread, prepared, broken, blessed, and eaten. This do, in remembrance of me. After the same manner, he took the cup of wine, when he had supped, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. And this do, eat this bread and drink this cup, as oft as you eat it and drink it, in remembrance of me. In remembrance of me. He keeps saying that. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he come. Now, are you with me? Are you thinking? You'll better understand the table of the Lord if you know something about this Passover. Our Lord had met together with His disciples to observe the Passover. And on this very night, our Lord said, "No more Passover. No more Passover. From this point on, the Lord's table." And He took bread. At the Passover, they always had unleavened bread. And He took this bread, and that unleavened bread reveals the purity of the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there's no reason why the Lord's table should not be observed with unleavened bread. It is accessible. It is attainable. And He took this bread, unleavened bread, and He broke it, signifying the breaking of His body, His own suffering. And He broke it, blessed it, and gave it to His disciples, and He said, "Eat this bread." This bread is symbolic of and represents My body, which is broken for you, which suffered on the cross for you. And you do this in remembrance of Me. And then He took the cup of fermented wine, which also shows the purity of our Lord Jesus Christ, the purity of His life. Unleavened bread will not spoil. It has no yeast. And wine will not spoil. You can sit around for days, months, or years, and it'll never spoil. Our Lord was a perfect life. He had no sin in His blood, no sin in His mind, no sin in His heart, no sin anywhere about Him. He was pure and perfect. And He took that wine and He said, "This is symbolic. It represents My blood, which is shed for you, the new covenant, New Testament in My blood, which is shed for you. Now drink it, and all of you drink it. This do in remembrance of Me." And as often as you eat that bread and drink that wine, you show several things. But particularly, you show My death, My substitutionary death, My sacrificial death, My death as a sin offering and a Savior. You show My death for you, My body broken for you, My blood shed for you. You show it till I come again. Now, what is the Passover? You see, this thing is so connected. The Passover leaves off, the Lord's table takes up. Paul said, Christ, our Lord, met to eat the Passover with His disciples. He instituted the Lord's table. No more Passover, from now on the Lord's table. And then Paul said, Christ, our Passover is sacrificed for us. Well, what is the Passover? Well, Israel, now listen carefully. There's so many questions about the Lord's table, and there's so many errors today. It's a simple feast. It's a simple memorial. There's no reason why anyone should be confused. There's no reason why there should be any questions raised. Our Lord gave two simple elements, bread and wine, which show that He was actually made flesh and dwelt among us. Bread is a very common, everyday thing. Here we have it on there. Wine is a common, everyday thing. And our Lord took these common elements. You don't have to go to Timbuktu to get bread or wine. It's here. It's among you. It's about you. It's around you. There it is. This do. It's very simple. This do. Not this and something else or not something else. There are no candles. There are no robes. There's no paraphernalia. There's no processional. There's no mumbo jumbo. There's no religious ritual. This do. Bread and wine. This do in remembrance of Me. Now, what is the Passover? Well, Israel, God's nation, was in Egypt. They were in bondage. They were in slavery. They'd been there 400 years. And God would deliver them from Egypt. He would deliver them with a mighty hand out of Egypt. What's this saying? Well, Israel in Egypt is a picture of us in sin, in bondage, in slavery to sin, under the curse of the law. And as God delivered Israel, they couldn't deliver themselves, nor can we deliver ourselves. They're in sin. They were in Egypt. We're in sin. They were in bondage. We're in bondage to sin, the captivity of the law. They couldn't deliver themselves, but God could deliver them. And He would deliver them powerfully and supernaturally with a mighty hand by His grace and by His power. See, salvation is deliverance. Salvation is not just a profession or turning over a new leaf or joining a church. It's deliverance. It's a great and mighty and powerful deliverance of God. It's a miracle work of God within. It's delivering from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of God's dear Son, from Egypt to Canaan. And then, and God was going to deliver them out of Egypt, and he said to Moses, tonight I will pass through the land of Egypt. And I don't know where people get this death angel idea. He didn't say a death angel would pass through Egypt. He said, I will. I'll pass through the land of Egypt. And he said, every firstborn in every home will die. Even the cattle on the hillside, from Pharaoh's palace down to the prison, the firstborn son in every home will die under the judgment and wrath and anger of a holy God. But he told his people, Israel, he said, take every man a lamb for a house. If the house is too big for a lamb, let two households go together. Let it take a lamb of the first year, not to be an old lamb, an old sickly lamb, an old dying lamb. It's to be a young lamb in the prime of life of the first year, a male. Also, that lamb was to be without spot or blemish, no sickness, no disease, no mark at all. You're to take that lamb and keep it up in a pen for 4 days and observe it and make sure there's nothing, there's no flaw, nothing wrong with it. It's a perfect lamb. And then you're to kill that lamb in the evening and roast its body with fire and eat the body. Eat it with unleavened bread. Eat it with bitter herbs. Eat it with your shoes on your feet. Eat it with your bags packed. We're leaving this place. And take the blood and put it on the doorpost and the lintel. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. That's the Passover. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. The Lord came through Egypt that night, and he visited every home with judgment and wrath and death. But where the blood was found on the door, he passed over and spared the firstborn. The blood maketh atonement for the soul. And the Lord told the children of Israel to observe that Passover feast at this particular time of year, every year, to commemorate the Lord's deliverance, out of Egypt. They were to remember their deliverance through the Passover lamb. But that Passover lamb says something else. It says God's lamb, God's Passover lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, would come and deliver all his people, all his sheep of all generations from all their sins. He is our Passover. He is our Passover who has sacrificed for us. You see, like Israel was down in Egypt, in bondage and slavery and inability. The scripture says the wages of sin is death. We're in captivity to sin. The soul that sinneth shall surely die. Sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. But Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. We have a Passover lamb. And let me show you, as we look back at Egypt and the Israelites slaying that lamb that night, putting the blood on the door, let's see how that represents the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, Israel was to take a lamb. Well, Christ is our lamb. He's called the Lamb of God throughout the Word. You remember in John 1:29, John the Baptist pointed to him and said, behold, the Lamb of God. Isaiah said, he has led as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. In the book of Revelation, even John on the Isle of Patmos, writing about things to come, said, I saw a lamb. As it had been slain in the midst of the throne. Christ is our lamb sacrificed for us. So we have picked a lamb by God's grace, and that lamb's the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Israel's lamb was to be without spot or blemish. And so is our lamb without spot or blemish. It pictures Christ. He is the God-man. He knew no sin. He was tempted as we are in every point. And yet without sin. He had no sin. He knew no sin. He did no sin. He was perfect without spot or blemish. And then Israel's lamb was to be a young lamb of the first year. Even so, in the prime of life, our Lord was in the prime of life. He wasn't old, he was young, 33 years old, when he went to that cross and died. And then Israel's lamb was to be kept up 4 days and observed. Our Lord lived on this earth 33 years and was tested and tried in every point. Tried by men, tried by demons, tried by the arch enemy himself, tried by God, and always proved perfect without spot or blemish. That's the reason the righteousness he provided for us is a perfect righteousness, because he's perfect. And then Israel's lamb was slain, and our lamb was slain. Israel's lamb was roasted with fire. Our lamb was roasted with the fire of God's wrath on Calvary's cross. Israel's lamb shed its blood, and our lamb shed his blood. He shed his blood for the remission of our sins. Israel, by faith, put that blood on the lintel and the two side posts, because God said, it's the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And by faith, we look to the blood of Jesus Christ. I preached a message just recently on this station from 1 Peter 1, 18-19. We know that we're redeemed, not with corruptible things such as silver and gold from our vain conversation received by tradition from our fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. The precious blood of Christ. You see, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. His blood maketh atonement, at one month for our souls. In Christ we have the atonement once and for all. By one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. His blood cleanseth us from all sin. His blood reconciles us to God. His blood has perfected us. His blood is applied in heaven. That's right, the scripture says, he enters not into the holy place made with hands, with the blood of others, but he entered into heaven itself with his own precious blood, and there obtained eternal redemption for us, and opened for us a way into the holiest by his blood before the very throne of grace, that every believer who is unto God through the blood of Christ, a king and a priest, may offer spiritual sacrifices of praise and faith. This then is the Lord's table. That's what our Lord's saying. The Passover's done. The lamb's finished. God's lamb is here. And the blood of the lamb in the Old Testament has fulfilled what it was given to do, point to Christ. No more Passover sacrifices, no more Passover feast. That's the Lord's table. He's our lamb of sacrifice and suffering. He's our lamb of sin offering and substitute. He's our Savior who enables God to be just and justifier. The pattern is fulfilled, and the Lord Jesus has perfectly fulfilled it. And the Lord's table, my friends, listen to me. It's not a sacrament. It has no saving power. These elements have no saving power. The bread is just bread. That's all. It doesn't become the body of Christ. It represents the body of Christ. The wine is just wine. You could drink a gallon of it, and it'd make you drunk. If it was the blood of Christ, it wouldn't. You see, if that wine was changed into the blood of Christ, it certainly wouldn't cause a person to be drunken. But it is just wine. That's all it is. It represents the blood of Christ. It is a memory. It is a memorial feast. It is in memory of Christ who saves. He said, this do in remembrance of me. You see what I'm saying? The bread is just bread, but it represents the body of Christ. And the wine is just wine. It represents the blood of Christ. The faith is in the heart. The faith of the believer in the heart looks to Christ. It doesn't look to the bread to do anything for it. It doesn't look to the wine to do anything for it. It looks to Christ. But it takes this bread and takes this wine, remembering what Christ has done. You see, the Lord's table is not a sacrament. It has no saving power. And the Lord's table is not a fellowship supper to show the unity of the church. I hear preachers and people saying, well, we haven't observed the Lord's table in a long time because we're not in unity with one another. There's sin in the camp, all this sort of thing. The Lord's table is not a fellowship supper for you folks to show your love for each other. The Lord's table shows the union of believers with Christ. The Lord's table is a matter between the individual believer and his God. We don't stop baptizing people because the church is not in union or not in fellowship or somebody's crossways. And baptism is an ordinance. It shows the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ and our union with him. And the Lord's table shows the death of our Lord. He said, this is my body broken for you. This is my blood shed for you. This do in remembrance of me. Not in order to be saved, but in remembrance of me. Not in order to redeem your soul, but because your soul is redeemed by the broken body and shed blood of Christ. It's not a ritual. The bread and the wine are common elements which show the flesh. The Lord was made flesh and dwelt among us. The unleavened bread shows his broken body. He was without sin. The wine shows his shed blood, the purity of his blood. The unleavened bread is broken as Christ's body was broken on the tree. The wine, where does it come from? Well, it's squeezed from the grape. Squeezed from the grape and then poured out. Our Lord's blood was taken from him. He shed it. You say, how often should we observe the Lord's table? There's no time given. It says, as oft as you do it in remembrance of me. And the simplicity of it. There's like I said a moment ago, this is no ritual. This doesn't have the candles and atmosphere and that sort of thing. It's a very simple supper. It's a very simple memorial feast. And it is a feast. It's not a funeral. Our Lord, when he took the bread, he gave thanks. When he took the wine, he gave thanks and gave it to his disciples. When we take this bread, symbolic of our Lord's broken body, and this wine, symbolic of his shed blood, we give thanks to God. Thank God he died. This is not a funeral. This is a feast, a memorial feast. Well, who's to come to the Lord's table? Well, let me answer that this way. Suppose I, as a pastor and preacher of the gospel, declare to my congregation that on a certain occasion we'll observe the Lord's table. I announce it. This coming Sunday evening we'll observe the Lord's table, or Wednesday night, or whenever. Now, my friends, our Lord instituted the ordinance himself, so it's mighty important. He instituted himself. It's a declaration of the gospel of God's mercy and grace, which we believe and preach. It's a time of worship. It's a time of fellowship with Christ. It's a time to come together with the Lord, rejoicing and praising him with thanksgiving over his sacrifice. Well, we have the bread, which represents his broken body, and we have the wine, which represents his shed blood. And these elements are to be distributed to the people as our Lord gave them to his disciples. He gave them to them. They didn't work for him. He gave them to them. And even so, he didn't sell it to them. He said, take, here's this bread. It's my body broken for you. He gave it to them. He gave it. And they took it. Now, shall we give it to all men indiscriminately? Shall we give it to all men and women without any hedges or reservation? Well, Paul gives the answer in 1 Corinthians 11 in two words. And those two words are examine and discern. Who's to come to the Lord's table? Let me show you. Now, verse 26 of 1 Corinthians 11. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death till he come. You're showing what he did for you. Not what you do for him, what he did for you. You're showing, you do show the Lord's death. You're showing faith in what he did for you. You can't remember what you don't know. You can't show something that was done for you if it hadn't been done. You are declaring before men and God and yourself that your hope and trust and faith and confidence is in Christ, and not just Christ the babe and Christ the healer and Christ the preacher and Christ the miracle worker, but Christ the crucified one. He died for me. You're saying my sins deserve death, and he died for me. Notice the next verse. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, in an unworthy manner. What does that mean? A person eating this bread and drinking this cup without understanding of it, of the meaning of it, without faith in him, without true dedication to its meaning, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. A man who does not know who Christ is and what Christ did and why he did it and where he is now and does not believe on Christ as his substitute, sin offering, and Savior, got no business eating the bread and drinking the wine. Got no business coming to the Lord's table. But he said, let a man, what? Examine himself. I don't examine you and you don't examine me. And the deacons and elders don't examine and they don't tell people who can come and who can't. I don't know your heart. You don't know my heart. No one knows anybody else's heart. Examine yourself. Are you a sinner? Do you know the judgment of God against sin? Do you see the Lord's grace and mercy in Christ? Do you believe he died for sinners? Do you see his broken body and shed blood, bearing your sins, suffering your debt? Do you discern? Now watch this. He that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation, not discerning the Lord's body. What is the word discern? To understand, to comprehend, to believe God, to believe his body, to believe his blood. Who's to come to the Lord's table? It's very simple. Let a man examine himself. Is the Lord your Redeemer? Are you saved by works or by Christ? Are you saved by the church or by Christ? Are you saved by the law or by Christ? Well, how'd Christ save you? He died for me. His body was broken. His blood was shed. He died for me. He intercedes for me. Well, come to the Lord's table. You understand. You comprehend. You discern. This is the Lord's table. Very simple. And how profound. All right, if you want this tape, I have this message on a cassette tape. And a message I'll bring next week on the most deadly sin of all. The most deadly sin of all. If you want this tape, the Lord's table, and this tape, this message, the deadly sin, send $2. The address will be given to you in just a moment. Till next week, God bless you.